a safe place to connect with others, finding God's love after abortion. This is Cradle My Heart Radio.
This is where the healing begins. Oh, this is where the healing starts. When you come to where you're broken again, the light meets the dark. The light meets the dark.
Cradle My Heart with Kim Cotola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003. 800-811-3003.
Thanks so much for being with us tonight. We are glad that you have made Cradle My Heart Radio part of your Sunday night here on this 18th day of May. And we're live tonight in the studio, so I want to give you the phone number in case you want to join our conversation. And I know that many of our listeners are working or volunteering or supporting the pregnancy help movement. And if that fits you, I hope you'll join the conversation tonight, because that's really what we're going to be focusing on. Here's the number, 800-811-3003. We're live. Phones are open, 800-811-3003. We have a fabulous treasure chest of resources. We have pro-life videos and books, and everyone who calls receives some kind of a healing resource. We have Rebecca St. James movie that I think it was called Sarah's Choice. Great movie, and she was in the news this week. Her home was threatened in the wildfires out in California. So everything was fine in the end. But anyway, it's a great movie, a very encouraging film. We have the 180 movie. We have books from our past guests. And so please, I encourage you to call, because we'll make it worth your while and send you a healing resource at 800-811-3003. And the ground rules are you do not need to give your name, because I know sometimes we talk about some very sensitive and very personal topics tonight, no exception. If you want to use an alias, you want to join us anonymously, that's always fine here at Cradle My Heart Radio, but do join us at 800-811-3003. Tonight on my way in, thinking about what to impart to you, I was listening to my rally music, Toby Mac, Steal My Show, and I really hope that the Lord would be as welcome in this conversation as he has been in your heart throughout the day. That's our purpose, is to welcome the Lord into our midst every week and talk about what he is doing to help those who find themselves in unplanned and untimely pregnancies, especially through the pregnancy help movement. Sometimes we talk with people who didn't know that any such help even existed. That fits my story. Back in the day when I was a young woman in my 20s, needing help, lacking social support, that was the prime motivator for me choosing abortion. Didn't think through what it really meant to make that choice, but I definitely lacked social support. And the people I turned to said abortion would be my answer. And now that I'm healed in Christ, it's part of my purpose in life to make sure that people know there are other options available. And tonight, we have two women in the studio with us here in Griffin, Georgia, in our flagship in Georgia at New Life FM, to talk about the pregnancy help movement, what it is, what sort of help is available, and just what their experience is in offering a true choice to people in unplanned pregnancies. We're going to start with the executive director and founder of the Pregnancy Resource Center of Henry County, Becky Green Smith. And Becky has been involved in pregnancy help work since, gosh, the early 1990s, Becky?
Yes, 1991.
And how did that come about? Welcome. Thanks for being with us tonight.
Thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to this time together. It was in the early, back in the 1980s, I had worked in an abortion clinic, and I knew that God had called me out of that. I was a believer, but I really never understood what abortion was. And then in the later in the 80s, I met my husband, and we lived in Atlanta, and then we eventually moved to McDonough. And when we moved to McDonough, I was a parent, a stay-at-home mom, and I was looking for a ministry that would help women that were facing an untimely pregnancy. And that within a month, I got a magazine that told how to start a crisis pregnancy center. And I knew that's what God had called me to do. And I began the ball sort of rolling around 1991. And then by 1993, the center had opened its doors. And we've been in existence since then, October 1993.
So I've got to back up a little bit and say, okay. Now you were working in the abortion industry. Did you know what you were signing up for when you took that job? Tell me what happened there.
Well, I had graduated with a degree in psychology, and I wanted to be a counselor. And I saw this ad for a phone counselor. So I thought, well, that'd be great. And it was for a family planning clinic. I had heard about abortion, but I really didn't know what abortion was. I didn't know the ramifications of it. I had seen, back when I was a teenager, I had seen a bumper sticker on my youth minister's trunk that said stop abortion, but I was like, what is that? So I never really knew what that was until I got this job, and I thought I was going to counsel women to help them, you know, through their pregnancy, but what I really was there to do was to sell abortions. I was selling abortions every day.
Mm. You know, I want to pause right there, because when I chose abortion, I mean, I didn't have my degree, but I had, you know, enough intelligence and enough education to have started college. I had a couple of years of college. You were a college graduate. Here we were. We had no idea what abortion was.
No.
People still don't know.
They don't. They don't understand
it. It's stunning, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, first of all, we could talk about why that is. You know, I mean, I think that, in my opinion, the abortion industry works hard so that people will not know what it is. They'll talk about it being, these days I think the phrase is reproductive justice or
right.
Reproductive health, or sometimes you'll hear abortion care, you know, but the language always masks what it actually is.
Well, the fact of the matter is it's a money-making industry. I saw that firsthand.
Mm.
You know, when you're paying your doctors in cash, you know there's no paper trail, you understand that, you see that.
Mm-hmm. And generally, it's not the woman's doctor who's doing this.
No, it's not.
It's not her regular OBGYN doctor or a family doctor of any kind that has any other connection with her other than this one procedure.
Correct.
So what did you see there? What did you see when, and I don't necessarily want you to describe, you know, graphically an abortion right. procedure, but if you don't, by the way, listening, if you don't know what that is, you can learn that information, and I would encourage you to look into it if you are completely in the dark about what it is. But what I want to know, Becky, is about the people, about the atmosphere, about the ethos of this place. What did you learn?
Well, the sadness wasn't just in the girls that came. To me, the tragedy was the workers there and the hollowness of their lives and what I saw, the way they acted apart from the actual abortion clinic itself. There was always a need for, you know, I would hear things about partying and drugs and other things, and I feel like that was just a way for them to cope with what was actually going on in that place. It was just a profound sadness and evil that you cannot describe unless you've been there, unless you've been on both sides. And I've never actually had an abortion myself, but I've seen the fear and the trepidation that's in the eyes of those women as they come and sign in for those abortions. And you know, it's a very fast procedure. I mean, honestly, they come in at 7 a.m. and then they were out by noon. And to conclude their abortion, they were put in a room to eat cookies and drink Kool-Aid. And it's very interesting to me. That's the same thing that you do when you get blood. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so what you're describing, it sounds kind of like a lot of dark humor. I mean, you might find that in other medical situations where there's a lot of, you know, sorrow. So people are sort of breaking the mood by, you know, gallows humor or whatever.
Right.
Did it go to a different level, though? I mean, was there...
Well, there's just one particular incident, and I didn't actually witness it, but I was told that they were actually scaring people with tiny baby parts in the hallway from the surgical unit. So that made me sick, and that was the moment I began to see and God began to convict my heart. I think he was always working on me, but that's when he really brought it home to me. And I started sensing an evil that I had never sensed before. And it was interesting that one of the girls that worked for me is the one who brought it to my attention, and she quit the same time I quit.
Mm. Becky Greensmith is our guest. She is the executive director of the Pregnancy Resource Center of Henry County. And we're talking about her experience choosing a very different path than the way that her professional life began as a counselor selling abortion services. We'll take a short break, and then we're going to continue and hear about offering life-affirming choices to women in unplanned pregnancies, which is what Becky has been doing now for over 20 years through the Pregnancy Resource Center. Our phones are open. We'd love to hear your thoughts, your feedback, your comments and questions. Please join us at 800-811-3003, 800-811-3003 here at Cradle My Heart Radio.
A safe place to connect with others. Finding God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cotola. Call toll-free at 800-811-3003. To Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cotola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003.
We're live tonight, and we would love to hear your questions and comments. We have healing resources, books, DVDs, music. We'll send something your way with a call and a question or comment for our guest. Join our conversation at 800-811-3003. Are you working in the pregnancy help movement? Love to give you a chance to share a short version of your story. 800-811-3003. Tonight we are talking about the pregnancy help movement, and we have Becky Smith, who is the executive director and founder of a local pregnancy center. She's been faithfully carrying out that task for over 20 years after a very different start to her professional life as a young woman. And Becky and I became acquainted during a pro-life ministry where we went to do some training for the pregnancy help movement in Russia a couple of years ago now. It seems like it was not that long ago, but
it's amazing.
Talk just a little bit about what you found there, and about maybe the universality of the need for the pregnancy help movement. Things couldn't be more different in Russia. You know, I mean, we heard from the women things like, when you go to your physician, they say, you're pregnant, are you having a baby or an abortion? Because it's 50% of all pregnancies, and they do the little mini procedures in, you know, outpatient, you know, for $50 in the doctor's office. It's a very, very different proposition, multiple abortions. But yet the equipping that you did for the women who share the vision that God has given you to be the one offering choice to women is pretty much remains the same.
Yes, I mean, I think I need to do a little background of why I went to Russia. Mm-hmm. I had seen a film called Killing Girls, and if you get an opportunity to look that up on YouTube, you might want to watch it. It's hard to watch, but it's also very important to watch it. And I'm certain that God brought it to me, because I wasn't looking for it, but I watched it, and I decided that day I wanted to go to Russia and help with that.
Documentary about late-term abortions in a particular hospital.
It was an independent filmmaker that made it. He was not pro-life or pro-choice. He just made this, and the reason they called it Killing Girls is because all the babies he saw aborted were girls.
And the physician, you know, quite strikingly said, well, of course we're killing babies.
Right.
You know, because at late term, there's no question.
Right. And what struck me is the physician didn't even like what they were doing. They wished the girls would choose something different. But they were doing late term abortions more because the girls were told that if they had early abortions, that it would decrease their chances of having another child. So they were waiting till the end, hoping that it wouldn't affect that part of their lives. So
if you see a film like this, the confusion that exists over legislatures you know, putting in place 20-week bans, 22-week bans, that confusion will evaporate from
Absolutely.
Your mind
They're
because
playing,
you will
grandchildren.
You will see the reality of what it is. And again, this is where we started our conversation. People have no, it's just a word, and it's a word we're tired of hearing. We feel like it's a debate that's never going away. We feel like, you know, well, it is a woman's choice, and what's that got to do with me? And we just don't grasp the reality. And this is, but the reality also now at the center where you're working is something that you're seeing all the time, but very different endings and happy endings.
Right.
so what happens at your center? If someone calls saying, I think I'm pregnant, what, take us through what would unfold?
Well, the first thing we do is try to get them to come in and get a pregnancy test, and so that we can confirm pregnancy. And then we also do a medical ultrasound to determine the viability of the pregnancy. You know, obviously, if they're considering an abortion, they don't want to just go to an abortion clinic and it not be a viable pregnancy. We can confirm that for them and then give them information about abortion. I mean, the fact of the matter is they have a choice. They can choose abortion according to the laws of our land. So what we try to do is help them make an informed decision, that they know what abortion is, what it can do to them, and give them options that are life-affirming options for them and their baby.
So it's conversation.
Conversation.
And then so she says, yes, I would like to have a pregnancy test. You mentioned that it's free.
Right. All of our services are free. They come in. It takes about an hour to do from the pregnancy test to the ultrasound. And it's a wonderful time of just encouragement for them and a chance for them to talk through their story, because, you know, we always, when we're trained, we're taught that they're in a tornado of activity or a tornado of confusion or a tornado of problems. And you just have to wait for that to all fall, and then all just falls out right there in the counseling room. And it's usually about so much more than just the pregnancy.
Mm-hmm. And talk about the lack of social support. I mean, I'm sure not everybody that you see would, you know, fit under that umbrella, but I'm sure it's a pretty common problem.
When you say lack of social support.
Well, so my boyfriend says he'll leave me, or my parents are going to kick me out, or I'll lose my job. I can't have this baby because. Is it generally because of the people around her not rallying and helping her?
It's typically a financial reason, and we try to discount that, or whatever the word would be, to help her understand that her circumstances are temporary. Everybody, you know, the circumstances we are typically temporary, and they're going to change. And even if she was in a great financial position to have a baby, her circumstances could change next week. So we help her to not make that decision based on her circumstances right now, because, you know, whenever we're in that, when we're in a sense of despair or whatever, we're going to make poor choices, because they're all based on that despair we're feeling right then.
Mm-hmm. And to me, it seems like one of the greatest challenges might be connecting with the women who really need your services. You know, that, and who is it? Is it primarily a teen problem? Are you seeing married ladies? Are you seeing women who are already moms? I mean, who is it who's vulnerable to wanting an abortion?
I think the greatest vulnerability now would be college students, because they see they have so much to lose, that, you know, that they might have to drop out of a semester of college. And it's difficult, you know, sometimes it's difficult to find the words to say, you know, to them. But we say, your life may be put on hold. That part of your life may be put on hold for now, but you can do this. And we try to give them examples of women that have come to the center and had, you know, had their babies and went on to finish college, and it all worked out. So, like I said, it's just helping them see beyond the circumstances they're in right now to what, you know, to the fact that it will change.
So how are you able to do this for free?
Well, we do that because we have a wonderful support system. We have churches that give to us regularly, individuals that give to us. We have our annual fundraisers, our 5K run for the bun that's in the spring, and then we have an annual banquet in the fall. We also have a baby bottle boomerang that goes on throughout the year where we give the baby bottles out to churches, and the churches return them full of spare change and lots of checks and cash, too.
So as we think about this, what is it that you think the average person needs to know? I mean, when I used to host a daily show, even on Christian radio. Sometimes I'd throw out a scenario. You know, I'd say, well, I met a woman who is pregnant, but, you know, she's concerned because her husband is cheating, and she just found out his mistress is pregnant, too, and she has a three-year-old, and she feels as though abortion is her only option. What would you say to such a person? And very seldom did listeners understand that they could refer to someplace like the PRC of Henry right. County, you know, and so it would just be a drill to give the phone number, you know, that people would know, because even within Christian circles, I think the awareness is just not there that the pregnancy help movement is as vibrant and as effective and as present as it really is.
Right, and that women are suffering. Hmm. Women are out there. Girls and women are out there, and they're struggling. They're struggling through a past abortion, or through a pregnancy right now, and there's just so much hurt out there. We see it every single day. Women just struggling just to feel loved, because I'd say 80% of our clients have no father figure in their home. So there's just that's something that I don't think churches are aware of.
Hmm. And you know, the scenario that I tossed out was actually something someone had shared with me when I was out traveling with Ruth Graham doing our conferences. And, you know, mostly I was hearing stories after the fact and trying to, you know, help people heal, help people understand, you know, Romans 8, that there's no condemnation. But it's so exciting to me that, you know, the prevention is not only happening at the point of crisis, at the point of, okay, I'm pregnant, now what, but there's we're going to hear a little bit later in the hour about prevention in the schools with abstinence training and abstinence education. But so share just some stories of what drives people to your center. I mean, some of the stories of women, I know you can't give us names or anything that would
right.
identify anyone, because I really want to emphasize that. While it's free, it's also completely confidential. There is a standard of care that the pregnancy centers adhere to that has huge accountability, especially in this area of privacy.
Well, two that stand out in my mind. One is a young mother who came to us for a pregnancy test, and her test was negative, but we found out that she was living in a local hotel with her two children. That's another thing that people aren't aware of, is how many people are living in local hotels that have small children or you know, have pregnancy problems and other situations like that. But these are two that are personal to me, and so we were able to help her to get her laundry done, that kind of thing. Those are some of the things that people come in needing help with that's apart from the abortion issue. But then there's another client that I'm still in friendship and relationship with, and she had 11 abortions, mm-hmm. and she came to us pregnant, and I had hoped that she would choose life this time, but she didn't. She chose abortion again. But I'm still talking to her and still ministering to her, and that's the thing about pregnancy help ministry. If a girl goes out and chooses abortion that day, will it break our heart? Absolutely. Will we be devastated? Yes. But she can still come back, and we will still love her, and we will still support her through what she's going to go through after having an abortion. So there's unconditional love there.
Hmm. And I do need to say that there's post-abortion care in the pregnancy help movement, too, which is where I accessed it, and it changed my whole life. It absolutely changed my approach, you know. And, I mean, the love of the Lord came to me, but it was the love of people within that post-abortion support group, of people who really understood the needs, who really understood the full dynamic of the range of emotions and the spiritual issues that were in play. So, Becky, I just want to thank you for your service, and thank you for joining us to let us know about the Pregnancy Resource Center of Henry County. Locally, you can access links. Well, if you go to cradlemyheart.org, you can access a link to Becky's organization, and you'll also be able to find it on Facebook, too, Pregnancy Resource Center of Henry County. Becky, thank you so much for being our guest tonight. Coming up after the break, we're going to talk with Sonia Hegwood, who also is a volunteer with the PRC of Henry County, doing abstinence education, and she has a dramatic story to share as well. Stay with us. This is Cradle My Heart Radio.
Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cotola. Call toll-free at 800-811-3003. back live to Cradle My Heart with Kim Cotola. Call toll-free at 800-811-3003.
Glad to have you with us tonight. Here's a quick program note. Coming up next week for the Memorial Day weekend, we will be live in the studio, and our guest next week is Francine Rivers. She started her literary career writing romance novels, and then she was born again in 1986 and wrote as her statement of faith the classic Redeeming Love, which is a retelling of the Bible story of Hosea and Gomer set during the California Gold Rush. If you haven't read it, oh, you need to read it. It's a modern classic, and it still holds a spot on the Christian bestseller lists now for nearly a decade. Francine Rivers wrote a seminal book about abortion and rape called The Atonement Child. And so we'll be talking with her about the pro-life issue, but also her latest work of fiction called Bridge to Haven. I'm very excited for you to meet Francine Rivers with us next week on Cradle My Heart Radio. And just go to cradlemyheart.org for all of our program notes, and we'll also have for you there articles and resources and links. Toward the end of the program, we'll share with you something that was making the rounds this week on social media. If you haven't had a chance to hear it yet, Jim Caviezel's beautiful, beautiful exhortation to healing after abortion. We'll play that for you tonight, too. That's also posted up on our Facebook page, which is Cradle My Heart, facebook.com/CradleMyHeart. Tonight, we're talking about the pregnancy help movement, and we're focusing in on two women from a local center in Georgia, where I live, the Pregnancy Resource Center of Henry County. Becky Smith was our guest for the first segment. She's the executive director. And now we're going to welcome in Sonia Hegwood, who joined the staff of the Pregnancy Center in January of 2012 as the abstinence program coordinator after having volunteered for approximately 5 years. And Sonia, it's a pleasure to welcome you to the program.
Thank you.
And also to just see you again tonight. I'm in training to be an abstinence volunteer myself, and I have such an appreciation for the work that you do, because
Absolutely.
You are on the front lines of training up the next generation to live God's way and make good choices, but you have to do it in a way that satisfies the requirements of a public school education and public school setting.
Right.
Talk about that tension just a little bit.
Well, I think that it's a unique opportunity to be in front of students with a message that is timeless, and valuing ourselves and valuing what we do with our time, all wrapped up in the message of choosing to spend time in other aspects of their lives outside of sexuality. And to do that in a way that I can't talk about Jesus. I can't talk about my faith. I can't talk about the love that Christ has for them, but yet still spark inside of them the love they have for themselves that God put there to call them out into himself. And so to do that with his love, I don't have to say his name. I think the book of Esther talks about that. God's present, even though maybe he's not mentioned. And so we hope to give that light of truth to them, even though we're restricted in what we can talk about in public schools.
Would most parents or even non-parents be surprised by some of the things that you're hearing from the students when they raise their hands and ask a question, or some of the things that they may be texting you offline with personal questions?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm surprised at the questions that I'm asked. I'm surprised at the texts that I get, although having to all of the time keep my game face on and act like I'm not at all fazed by what they have to say. You know, it's something as simple as, how do I tell my parents I've had my first kiss? To, I think I had sex at prom and I might be pregnant now. And mom and dad probably shelled out the money for the dress and the limo and the dinner and maybe even the hotel room, all unknowing what was going on behind the scenes. I think they would be very surprised if they opened up their eyes to see what's going on in the life of their teen. And so as much of a passion as I have to talk to teenagers, I have an equal amount of passions to talk to parents and to get in front of them and to open their eyes to see the life that their teenager is facing, if not experiencing.
Mm. I've been very surprised, you know, in the training and in the education I've been gaining, that most of the kids are trying to avoid pregnancy. and yet they are at risk for so much more.
There are so many more things happening out there besides just getting pregnant. And if that's their main focus, then they haven't seen the full spectrum of what there is out there. And that's one thing that we try and teach in the public schools, is that getting pregnant, while that is life-altering, most of the time we see it as completely survivable in the medical system that we have today. However, there are sexually transmitted diseases out there that are terminal, that if you have these things for the rest of your life, are life-altering in ways that you would never even imagine. Pregnancy is certainly not the only thing. And life-altering emotions and guilt, judgment, shame, there's so much more going on that a condom won't fix.
Hmm. And what motivates you? Tell me a little bit about your story, Sonia.
What motivates me to be in the classroom?
Yes.
Was primarily when I visited the center. I was a teen mom. I got pregnant at 17, and I ended up having to quit school, and I ended up really with a life-altering choice there, but that's not really the reason that I came to the center. That is my motivation for being in the classrooms, but my motivation for being in the center is because I did have an abortion 14 years ago now, and that was something that I hid in shame with for a long time, but through God's healing and redemption, I came to a place where I found that the Pregnancy Resource Center was available, because nothing like that was really up and running when I got pregnant as a teen mom. I know Becky was in the throes of starting all of that, but she hadn't yet, but I didn't even realize that sort of thing was available to me. So anyway, I had had an abortion, and so that was what drove me to the Pregnancy Resource Center.
Mm. So tell me about this experience of being a teen mom.
Well, it absolutely and positively was not expected. It was never going to happen to me. I was just doing what everybody else was doing, and everybody else was just fine. But the day that I went into our local health department to take that pregnancy test, not really understanding what was going on completely, and she brought back a positive pregnancy test, I don't really remember anything else that she said that day. I only remember the look in her eyes, because she knew what I didn't. She knew what I was about to face, and she knew the hardships that I was about to go through at a 17-year-old mom, 18 by the time I had him, and it was difficult. It was difficult. I remember when they told me it was time to take him home from the hospital, I cried, because I didn't have any idea how to take care of a baby. Had no idea how to take care of a baby. I barely had an idea how to take care of myself.
Hmm. And so, but you returned and did complete your education?
I ended up getting a GED.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was great. And I began college at a local college at Clayton State. And I made it almost a year. Ended up having to change my plans a little bit because my child care had changed a little bit. And I couldn't make it to class like I had hoped I would be able to make it to class. Another thing they don't really talk about when you're talking about being a teen mom is all of those things. So I ended up getting a certificate in that, and I hope to be able to go back to school one day. And so those are still things that I deal with as a consequence.
Mm. And you have a son.
I have a fabulous son. he's my best friend, and I wouldn't give anything for him. He's 21 now, and even in that, I still face part of the consequence of my choice, because he doesn't live near me anymore. He went to be with his father, which we didn't stay together. And another thing they don't really talk about when you talk about teen pregnancy is the relationships that follow after that. I mean, I miss him like crazy. We grew up together. I was 18 when I had him. 21 years of my life, more life than I had before him, I've spent with him. We grew up together. And so he's amazing, and I love him, and he's just a bright spot in my day.
Sonia, thank you for sharing that part of the story. I know that, teen pregnancy, maybe I'll give you a chance. We have just about a minute or two before the break. Okay, so maybe I'm watching Pregnant in 16. Maybe I'm watching Teen Mom. You know, are they getting it? Are the kids getting it? Or is it just glamorizing it?
Absolutely glamorized. Absolutely. My beautiful daughter calls that the What Not to Do with Your Life channel when you're watching something like that, because you have no idea what's going on the other side of that camera, between breaks, between takes, what they're editing out. And really, when I watch those shows, not only are you not getting the full picture of the mom's life, you're not getting the full picture of what that child's life is going to be like afterwards either. While mom and dad are fussing or fighting, they've got relationship problems and they're traveling back and forth. You don't get to see what that child's enduring now. You don't get to see what that child's enduring 5 years from now, 10 years from now. You don't get the full scope of what's going on watching a TV show like that. It's absolutely glamorizing it.
Hmm. Sonia Hegwood is our guest. She's an abstinence educator and sharing from the heart her own story tonight. And we'll take a short break, and then we're going to return. And stay with us, too, for Jim Caviezel's message of healing after abortion hurt. Phones are open for you tonight. Would love to hear your voice in our conversation. Perhaps you have a word of encouragement for Sonia. 800-811-3003. If you have a question about the pregnancy help movement, just join us. 800-811-3003. Here at Cradle My Heart Radio.
This is Cradle My Heart Radio. Call toll free at 800-811-3003. Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cotola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003.
This is Cradle My Heart Radio, and we are glad that you're listening tonight. We're live, 800-811-3003, talking about the pregnancy help movement, what it is, and how it really is offering a true choice. You know, if someone hears that abortion is their only option, are they really exercising choice? If they hear that all they can do is make that choice, is that really freedom? You know, for me, I felt as though abortion was no choice at all because the people close to me said, well, that's what I needed to do. I did not know what was involved, not only with the procedure, but I had no idea what was what I would be facing spiritually. I wasn't a very spiritual person at the time, and yet, you know, it doesn't matter. If you fail to observe the speed limit when you're driving a car and you have to deal with those consequences, it doesn't matter that you didn't know the speed limit. The consequences remain the consequences. And our guest tonight is an abstinence educator with the Pregnancy Resource Center of Henry County, Sonia Hegwood. And if you're just joining us, Sonia mentioned that she was a teen mom, but she also has an abortion in her past. And Sonia, the abortion happened after you had given birth, after you were already a mom. Tell us a little bit about the circumstance of choosing abortion.
I had a child at 18, and there was a lot of stigma and a lot of shame involved with having to admit that, with having to be that teen mom. And then I met my wonderful husband. We got married. We had a baby girl, a baby daughter, and we were struggling financially, as many young couples do. And so when we found out about 2 years into our marriage that I was pregnant again, we looked at, like y'all talked about in the last segment, circumstances. We don't have the money. And again, I was faced with the shame that I had still held on to from being a teen mom and having to face those stares and the downcast eyes from the people that I knew associated with that. And so I didn't want to face that again. And I had heard this word, and it was abortion, and it seemed like a fix. It seemed like a solution. And so we began the process, and from conception of the idea until completion, it was 3 whole days. Certainly not an amount of time that you would want to give yourself to make a life-altering choice, and yet we made it. It was the day before Valentine's Day, as a matter of fact, and we had told my mom that we were going on a date, and instead we went into Atlanta. I don't remember much about the drive. I don't remember any of those details. Again, it's 14 years ago, but we found ourselves sitting in the waiting room, waiting for the fix. And so there are a lot of little moments of that day that I remember. But what I remember the most is getting back home that evening and sitting on the edge of my bed and really the gravity of what had just occurred falling on me and realizing sort of what I'd just done. I called my best friend. We talked about it. I cried about it. And I attempted to go on, but there was a vacuum of emptiness. I'm really trying to consider what the ramifications of what had just happened rolled around in my mind. But then none of them really were very serious until 2 days later, and I began to bleed, as the lady told me that I might. And she gave me a tiny little pill that was supposed to fix the fix. And so she said to take that pill if things started getting really bad. And it was really bad, so I did. But it didn't stop immediately. So it was very early in the morning, and I realized that I was bleeding like I would never thought that I would in my whole life. And in my mind, all I could think was, if I lose too much blood, I'm going to die. And the realization was I'd never faced my own mortality. And that night that I did, I faced the fact that I could very well die. And knowing that, looking in the face of a creator that I knew had been there my whole life but never really had a personal relationship with him, I looked full in the face of that creator. And knowing what I had done, I knew he would find that appalling. And I began to cry out to him and say, oh, goodness, God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And in a moment where most people would think that God would answer back with an absolute judgment, yeah, good luck, Sonia, you messed up again. Look at all of the chances I've given you, and you messed up again. You have to know that it wasn't that. It wasn't that. The God of the creation, my God, said, it's going to be okay. I love you anyway. I love you. And so every time I said, I'm sorry, I'm not saying God was showed up in my bathroom and sat on my toilet or anything, but his love enveloped me just the same. And I might have walked into that bathroom a murderer, but I walked out a redeemed woman. And if you have to look at me and you have to think of it as murder to get your mind wrapped around what it is, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that because I feel very strongly that that's exactly what it was. You gave me a statistic a minute ago that said that Planned Parenthood said that 61% of its participants are mothers. And my view on it is 100% of them are mothers. If you're pregnant, you're a mother. That's you're just right. Maybe not a mother of a child you can hold yet.
That's right.
And I don't think that there's ever going to be anything that's going to change my mind about that.
Sonia Hegwood is our guest. She's an abstinence educator and a brave woman, and I appreciate you sharing your story with us. I know it's never easy, and I know it's, but God gets the glory in the telling.
I certainly hope so.
And in your life, you know. And, you know, Sonia, one of the things that I hope people understand and take away from listening is that there's no judgment. Let's listen to this from Jim Caviezel. I hope we'll have time to hear all of it.
Some of you have had abortions. Some men here and women are adulterers. Some have committed murder. Some of you didn't have the abortion, but you paid for it, so you have contributed to this. Many people are part of this great sin in this country. Over 50 million in the United States alone. 45 million die every year in the world. These are all God's children, and God brings them home. Now he wants to bring you home, now, in this moment. This is a chance for heaven right now. You don't have to wait to die to experience heaven. But when you committed the sin, any of the Ten Commandments, or the sin of abortion, or contributed to it. Let me be very clear. Did you go to one of your friends and ask your friend, hear my story? And you say, yes, I went to one person. I said, why do you go to this person to confide in this sin to them? Because they didn't judge me. Because they loved me. Because I felt mercy and grace. Now, I ask you this. Do you think that your God doesn't have more mercy than your friend? Do you think your friend has more grace than God? Does your friend have more love than the Creator? It can never be. It can never be. So, God forgives you. And now He needs you to begin again. To accept forgiveness. Earlier I said, God never sends a man into hell. People choose this place. Your choice. God made you and loves you. There's never been another like you. He deemed that you would come here. He asked you and you came. Today, you came. You had the courage to come. And there was plenty parts of the world that pulled you from today from even coming, but you came. Don't you know how much God will remember this? Do you think He is a God that's just sitting there waiting to toss you off? You are perfect. There is no one else like you. And without you, He would cry. So He's coming to you now. Right now, in this moment. All He has to hear from you is yes. Yes, you've accepted Jesus, some of you. Keep accepting Him. Every time we sin, we deny Him. Be holy. Be perfect, just as my Father is perfect. Or in the Passion, Hakozina otiabui, kuma bezrati, shamereni meresha tesher tamenu alai, bakakasaya noshi adonai, bakakisiti, bakab takti, ba kulitekeho henkehel kosi de mini, okenlak is far, lehewe di lak is far, milatil komare hema hakihida. Hita hivu denale dena kokaver diana ahavef lakom antun. Hita hivu lakom. My commandment to you is this. You love one another just as I have loved you.
That's Jim Caviezel, and it's amazing to hear his voice as we heard it in the film The Passion. In this clip, he was speaking at Rock Church in San Diego, California, and they had an extended conversation about his strongly held pro-life convictions. I think he and his wife just adopted a second special needs child. He's walking his talk when it comes to being pro-life 100%, but I love to hear his heart for those hurt by abortion. Sonia Hegwood, thank you so much for joining us tonight, and I pray that as God continues you walking on your healing journey, that, you know, it's all about the next generation, and it's all about allowing God to bring beauty out of the ashes. And
it's all about what Jesus can do with
amen.
What we have.
Amen. And as you said, whether or not His name is overtly proclaimed, or He sees and He knows what you're doing with those 2,000 students in the public schools.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you so much for being with us. And Becky Smith, I won't call you up to the microphone, but thank you also for being with us in the studio tonight. These women are laboring at the Pregnancy Resource Center of Henry County in McDonough, Georgia, and they are one of thousands of women and men who are living out faith, much as Jesus would have us do in the parable of the Good Samaritan, helping those who need help and material support, and doing it free of charge. You know, if you are not aware of the pregnancy help movement, you can memorize this phone number and give it to those in need. It's 800-712-HELP, H-E-L-P. Go to cradlemyheart.org. You'll find all the organizations that are linking to giving help, whether it's in the abstinence arena or help with an unplanned pregnancy or in the post-abortion healing journey. It's a amazing ministry that God has raised up, thanks to the faithful folks like you've met tonight. Kim Catola, thanking you so much for joining us tonight. Be sure and tune in next week. Francine Rivers will be our guest. And if you want to find out all the program notes or learn more week in, week out, just join us at cradlemyheart.org. And remember, Jesus loves you, and so do we. Thanks for listening.